You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Wednesday, March 28th, 2018, and you are Locked On Jets. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thank you for joining us today. Well, we have some good news coming out of the league meetings. The NFL has mercifully decided to simplify the catch rule, so I don't know why so many teams over the years have had to have their seasons destroyed, why so many teams have had to lose games for no reason. I mean, you want to go back to that game with Calvin Johnson years ago, because the NFL has these contradictory catch rules. They're complicated, needlessly so. Nobody really knows what a catch is. I mean, even people within the league, if you go back and rewatch the Super Bowl, Chris Collinsworth, who's the number one analyst on the league's showcase game each week, Sunday Night Football, he didn't know during the Super Bowl what plays were going to stand as catches and which weren't. So this was sorely needed, and it's well overdue. The league defines the catch in terms including control of the ball, 2 feet down or any body part, and a football move such as either a third step, reaching or extending for the line to gain, or the ability to perform such an act. And we're getting rid of the stupid you have to maintain the catch through the ground rule, which made no sense. You know, you go back to the Jesse James play, which, by the way, even under the old rules, should never have been overturned. The Jesse James play against New England, where there was no conclusive evidence the ball hit the ground. So terrible job at that point, but never even should have been a discussion. That play just symbolizes how nonsensical the rules were. The fact that a guy who's running could dive for the end zone, and if he breaks the plane with the ball, it's a touchdown. But a guy going to the ground to make the catch, if he has control and breaks the plane, it's not a touchdown unless he maintains control. It's just nonsense. So we'll see how this rule plays out. There may need to be some tweaking. It may not fix everything, but certainly a step in the right direction. I mean, I think you're crazy if you think this is not a step in the right direction. I think you haven't been watching football in the last 5 to 10 years if you don't think this is a step in the right direction. Is it going to be perfect? I don't know. Maybe they'll need to tweak it. Maybe there will be some flaws. Fine, we'll deal with that then. But mercifully, the NFL actually decides to address its stupidest rule. And in other news, speaking of rules, the Jets made a proposal that they withdrew pertaining to pass interference. The Jets proposed to make it a 15-yard penalty aside from egregious cases, and the Jets withdrew it because it didn't have support. And let me just say, shame on the Jets for even proposing this to begin with. I mean, good gravy. If the catch rule has taught us anything, it's that rules should be as simple as possible, enforced as consistently as possible, and with officials needing to make as few interpretations as possible. You don't want to create two categories of pass interference. You're just creating another catch rule where seasons will be decided on bang-bang interpretations based on complicated, unclear rules. What are the Jets thinking, proposing that? And you don't want all that would do is it would incentivize teams to commit more pass interference. It would incentivize the defensive backs to get more physical. That's not better football. That's not better football. You know, people complain when the officials make it a point of emphasis to call the game tight, when they to call it tight on defensive backs against receivers and be willing to throw flags. People complain about it. And you know what? It usually lasts about 6 weeks, and then the defensive backs adjust, and you see the flags go down. So let's just put that aside. Like, bad job by the Jets proposing it. Bad job, Jets. Now, today we are going to continue our countdown. Yesterday we went through the wild cards on the Jets roster, number 10 through number 6. Players whose performance is unclear, who are tough to project for various reasons, and who could either help make or break the 2018 season for the Jets. I told you that we'd finish up the countdown some point this week. I wasn't sure if it was going to be today. It is going to be today, though. So we'll go 5 through 1. Just as a refresher, number 10, Jordan Leggett. Number 9, Brandon Schell. Number 8, Darren Lee. Number 7, Spencer Long. And number 6, Quincy Enunwa, who Todd Bowles told the media on Tuesday he expects Enunwa should be looking pretty good for training camp coming off the neck injury. So now we will jump on in to number 5. So my number 5 wild card for the Jets, I'm going with it, and this is a recent free agent signing, I'm going with Isaiah Crowell, the back they signed from the Cleveland Browns. And Crowell is a guy with, I think he has some ability, and I think he could do a pretty good job with the Jets as the starting running back. He has gone over 1,000 yards from scrimmage the last 2 years, 1,035 in 2017, 1,271 in 2016, and then 2015, 888 yards from scrimmage. He has put together 68 receptions over the last two seasons. He's been over an 800-yard runner. He's a guy you can count on for around 200 carries. He could be a solid back for the Jets. I think the question is, I don't think he's going to be a bad back for the Jets. I don't think that this one, I would be kind of surprised if this was just a total flop the way the Matt Forte signing was for this team. I think Crowell's going to be a solid back. The question is, well, A, can the Jets build a better offense around him than he had in Cleveland? And B, how much better can he be if the Jets can? Because in Cleveland, he had some obstacles. Now, he did have a good offensive line in Cleveland in 2017. I think that, you know, lots of solid players on that line, but he was with the worst quarterback situation in the league. It was a brutal situation in Cleveland with DeShone Kizer, who clearly was not ready to play. Now, the Jets may have a rookie this year, or maybe it'll be Teddy Bridgewater, maybe it'll be Josh McCown. Hopefully, you're looking at a rookie who's got a little bit more upside than Kizer flashed in 2017. So the question is, how good can Crowell be? He's not that old. He's going to be 25 this season. It'll be his age 25 season, so not that old. You know, he's gotten a bunch of touches, but not to the point where you would expect a decline just yet from him. Question is, can the change of scenery help him become an upper echelon starting back? He's, again, a guy who has been a guy you can throw the ball to out of the backfield, so he might be a guy who can stay on the field three downs. Now, Bilal Powell's going to get his share of carries. Elijah McGuire will also be in the mix, but can Crowell be a guy who's a big time playmaker on this offense, the type of guy who can be one of the big parts of the solution on offense? How much can you rely on him? Can he be that kind of three down back, that guy you can give the ball to consistently and have him grind out yardage, you know, on tough yards? Can he grind out tough yards near the end of the game? Can you give him the ball in any situation? How much can you lean on him, and how much can he help the quarterback situation? How much can he help a young quarterback? Now, it was tough in Cleveland because you had a quarterback who, again, wasn't ready to play. But with the Jets, if they have a guy who's a little bit better, a little bit more game ready, how much can they lean on Crowell to help him out? So I'd put Crowell as my number five wild card this season. Now on to number four, and I'm going to go with the first round pick from last year, Jamal Adams. Now, I think Jamal Adams played well in 2017 for a rookie, but again, for a rookie. His game is going to need to be elevated in 2018 if this is going to be a success story for this franchise. There are not many impact safeties in the NFL, and the Jets drafted Adams in the top 10. And if you're drafting a safety in the top 10, he better become one of those rare impact safeties in this league. And the Jets put a lot on his plate as a rookie, and they're going to put a lot on his plate again. Todd Bowles likes to play a lot of one-gapping against the run. One gapping means essentially you're responsible for one lane. Each area between offensive linemen is considered a gap. So the area between a center and guard is a gap. Area between guard and a tackle is a gap. So in some schemes, big defensive linemen are responsible for eating up space between two gaps. With the Jets, Bowles likes to just give each player on defense one responsibility. Well, if you one gap on defense against the run, the numbers don't work out unless you have a safety drop down to help play the run, help do a lot against the run. So Adams is going to be, again, a key part against the run. And the other aspect here is coverage. And Adams showed some signs that I think have to concern you a little bit as a rookie. He was not that great in coverage. Now, can he get better? Sure. Maybe he'll, with a full offseason, a full year under his belt to adjust to the speed of the game, the athleticism of NFL players, it's certainly plausible he improves. We talked a little bit about this yesterday when we were discussing Darren Lee. The NFL has become a league where offenses try to create mismatches. They try and create that with pass-catching backs, you know, running backs who have receiver skills, with athletic tight ends. So guys like Lee and Adams, at least in theory, are brought in to try and prevent the opponent from being able to create those mismatches, because these are guys who are supposed to be able to match up with anybody. You know, they're big enough that they can take on tight ends. They're fast enough to take on some of the speedier scat backs out of the backfield. They're guys you want to be able to deploy in any scenario. So can Adams become that guy? I think as a rookie, he was not that guy. As a rookie, he was a guy who was solid for a rookie. Now he's got to grow. You know, if he plays at the level he played at 2017, if that just goes on for 4 years, this is not going to be remembered as a great pick. You know, Adams is going to have to develop, take his game to the next level, and become a star level safety if that pick is ever is going to be justified for the Jets. Now going to number three, my choice is Robbie Anderson, and Anderson's a bit of a wild card for a couple reasons. Is first of all, there are going to be questions about how many games will he be available for the Jets. The answer could be 16, it could be less due to his legal issues, but I'm going with Anderson just as much from an on-field perspective. Heading into last season, I thought he was also a big wild card. The question was, how good was he? Was he the type of guy who was a starting-level player? Was he more of a complimentary piece? I think he showed you he's a starting-level player last year. Now the question is, how good of a starter is he going to be? You know, there's a lot of optimism around him, and not without reason. You have to have liked what you saw from him a year ago. He certainly had a stretch where he played like one of as good as any deep threat in the NFL. He was as dangerous as any deep threat for a stretch last season. Now, is he going to take the next step? Is he going to be the type of guy you can run your passing game through? And we're going to need to see some development from him in a couple areas. And it mainly deals with his route running. He can run the deep route. He can beat guys deep. And what impressed me last year was even when opponents were playing him deep, he was able to get past a lot of them. Now late in the season, and Bryce Petty's going to take a lot of the blame. Bryce Petty deserves a lot of the blame. Anderson's production tailed off. But something else I noticed was he kind of struggled late in the year when he got matched up against some of the better corners that he faced all season. So is it a case where he has to make his game better rounded? I think so. And, you know, one stat I was looking at the other day was catches on third and fourth down to extend drives. And Anderson really was nowhere near the guys in the upper echelon of the league, and the names near the top are names you'd expect. So if Anderson's going to be a go-to guy, he's got to be a guy the Jets can depend on to come through in big spots later on in games, you know, big spots, late downs, third and fourth down later in games. He's shown you he's a starter. Now the question is he the type of guy you can run your passing game through? Is he a number one type receiver, or is he more of a complementary piece? Now, you're always going to want to put the best group of receivers you can on the field, so it's not like it would be a bad thing over the next couple of years that the Jets brought in a guy better than Anderson, and Anderson kind of played Robin to somebody else's Batman. But the question remains, does Anderson have the skills to become a better rounded receiver? There were stretches during last season where he took games over because he was such a dynamic deep threat, but is that sustainable? Now, again, I think he can start, but I think he's going to have to add more elements to his game if he's going to be the type of guy the Jets are going to be able to run this passing game through. At number two, I'm going with another recently signed guy, and it was the biggest contract the Jets gave out in free agency, and that was to Trumaine Johnson, formerly of the Los Angeles Rams. And this is, I think, a guy who has a much better resume, a much better reputation than your typical wild card, but there are lots of question marks around this one. Some of it deals with the contract the Jets gave him. I mean, the Jets gave him a ton of money. They're paying him superstar money. And beyond that, this is a scary contract. The Jets, no matter what you think about this deal, this was not a well-structured deal. This was not a team-friendly deal. The Jets are in for a lot of pain if Johnson cannot give them 3 to 4 years. I mean, to get out of this deal after 2 years, the Jets would be stuck with $12 million of dead money. To get out of this deal after 3 years, the Jets would be stuck with $8 million out of dead money. So, those are enormous dead money hits. Those are enormous dead money hits at any point, let alone 3 or 4 years into the deal. So the question is, how much can Johnson give the Jets? Now, that question exists in the long term, but also in the short term, because this team needs a guy they can trust to go out and shut down the opponent's best receiver. That's the defense Todd Bowles wants to play. He likes to attack. He likes to leave his corners out in an island, which means you need guys who can play one-on-one. And it's something the Jets have lacked for much of Bowles' tenure. There's a reason they're paying Johnson this kind of money. They think he can do it. Now, how good can he be? Can he handle that load? And there are some other factors that have to be considered here is that he's 28 years old. You may think that's not young. That's actually getting up there for a corner. That's kind of old for a corner. You know, take a look at the corners in this league. There are not many 30-year-old corners. It's a position where young guys are at a premium. You know, you want to be young at corner. 28's getting up there, and there also were some signs, some possible signs of decline in his game, some possible signs of deterioration in his game. You look at some of his moments on film, some of his numbers. There are things to be concerned about. Now, this was not conclusive. This was not definitive. Certainly possible he can bounce back and give the Jets a number one caliber corner, and they certainly need it because, again, this defense requires it. And when you play the scheme the Jets play, there's no position on defense that can lose you a game quicker than the cornerback position. You have a guy out there who can't play, your defense is toast. So the Jets need Johnson to go out there and earn his salary because he's a very important player for this team. And now I'll go with my number one guy, and I think this one is pretty obvious. This is the number one wild card on the team. It's Teddy Bridgewater. It's very rare that you can find a quarterback in free agency who legitimately you feel has a good chance of being the answer at quarterback, or at least a solid chance. And that's Bridgewater. Bridgewater's career got off to a pretty nice start in Minnesota. Now, I don't think you can say it was a slam dunk that he was definitely on his way to stardom, but there were lots of encouraging signs. He produced pretty well in an offense that really did not fit his skills very well. I don't think Norv Turner's designed an offense. I don't think the Norv Turner offense is really in Bridgewater's wheelhouse. And he still was reasonably productive, and he was reasonably productive behind an offensive line that was terrible. He may have had the worst offensive line in the league when you look at some of the statistics, and he did a pretty solid job against when under pressure. So there are signs out there this could be a good quarterback. He's got a first-round pedigree. Now, the biggest question, of course, is going to be the injury. How much did that rob him of his mobility? And Bridgewater was not a mobile guy. You know, he's not a guy who's you're gonna design runs for. He's not a scrambler, but he's a guy who was pretty mobile within the pocket. He was good at moving, and that kind of helped him with the offensive line. He was good at evading pressure. He's not a super athlete, but he's the type of guy who uses functional mobility pretty well. So how much of that does he still have? How does the knee injury affect other aspects of his game? How does it affect his mechanics? You know, there are plenty of questions around him. Now, there's certainly a path for where Bridgewater could be a pretty good quarterback, and I think as any Jets fan knows, quarterback position is really important. If you have a quarterback, you have a chance in this league. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. Now, I like what the Jets have done because the Jets are giving themselves a couple different options. They're giving themselves the Bridgewater option, where if it pans out, now you've got a solid quarterback. They're also giving themselves the draft option, which they maximize by moving up to the third overall pick. So now you have a couple different chances to hit on a quarterback, but the drafted quarterback's not here yet. When we may reassess this after the draft. We may do another list after the draft, incorporating the players the Jets pick. But at this point, I think Bridgewater is the number one wild card. You know, Bridgewater could potentially give the Jets a long-term solution at the quarterback position. And if you do that and you draft a guy, well, that's a good situation to be in. One of the things I can't get over is when people, I've seen some people panic about the idea that Bridgewater will be good, then you'll have a drafted quarterback. And I almost wonder, how long have you been watching the Jets? Having two quality quarterbacks is not a problem. Having two quality quarterbacks is a great situation. Zero quality quarterbacks. That's when you have a problem. So hopefully for the Jets, Bridgewater can go out there, produce, and kind of recapture what he was doing early in his career before he suffered that freak injury. So that's my list. If we want to go back from 10, Jordan Leggett, 9, Brandon Chell, 8, Darren Lee, 7, Spencer Long, 6, Quincy Enunwa, 5, Isaiah Crowell, 4, Jamal Adams, 3, Robbie Anderson, 2, Trumaine Johnson, and number one, Teddy Bridgewater, for my wild cards at this point. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. iTunes and Spotify are your options. Hope you have a great day. We'll be back on Thursday.